ball game, and few of the guys are talking about the constraints that they were having with their women. And this brother came and he was using some language that was just written out of the book of cursology. And we were so moved, a couple of us tried to hug that brother, and he pushed us away and said, and I'm quoting, "I don't need you hugging me and touching me. What do I want you touching me for?" This is the same brother that washed my dishes last night, and when he came into my home, grabbed me and would not let me go. God, no, not Pastor John. God brought him to intimacy. How did he do it? Through crises. Friends, through crises. And he was the most purposeful student in the Bible study last night. While I was giving the Bible study, he sat in the back of the room, and it's blowing everybody's mind that knows this man, because this man would argue with me about things, and he just said, "Yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes." God is speaking to him through me as I taught. And he understands why I love him so. And he made a statement and said that the way that he lives with his wife is completely different from the way he was when he first met Pastor John, the mean man. Know that. Now, because of what the term communicates, now I want to define each, because I want to define what intimacy is, and so that you know how this works. Intimacy can be defined as emotional closeness, warmthness, caring, affection, touching, familiarity, and friendship. None of these things are sinful with men with men. Now, it becomes sinful with men with women if, as we look at this, the man gets too close to the woman and the woman gets involved. I've been told, you know, by certain people that I shouldn't speak with certain women because the woman is attracted to me. And I said, I'm not going to stop having a relationship. I'm not going to stop being emotionally close and warm and caring and affectionate because I told the person that I'm not attracted to them like that. I'm not going to back off from that. This person is a personal friend of mine. And other people are saying, but you shouldn't do that. I don't listen to other people. I listen to my heart. I listen to God. And if anybody's sinning, when you tell a person that you don't want to be with them like that, and if they keep coming at you like that, well, that's their fault, not yours. You know, don't get it twisted. We're grown here. We as men would never like to be related to each other in this way of emotional closeness, warmthness, and caring, because our society forbids it. But this is something that we have between the sheets with our ladies alone, right, Pastor John? The very thought of having any form of intimacy outside of male and female is unheard of. But I got to tell you that the Bible proves you're wrong in that area of love and touching and feeling and contact. Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 8. Now, stop arguing with me. Oh, I'm turning you off. Yeah, you can turn me off if you want to. Go to Matthew chapter 8. I want you to go to your Bibles. And I'm not teaching another doctrine here. I'm not trying to raise something from. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let's start reading together. Like this, it says, "And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him." Now, you know what a leprous person is. A leprous person is a person that has skin disease. And if you touch that or even get into air contact with that mess and that germ jump up in you and you become all polluted and eaten up. So this leprous person came and bowed down to him saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now I want you to look at what he did. "And he stretched out his hand and touched him." Jesus touched the leprous person saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Now let's look at this. And as we look at these verses, we have to ask the following questions about this. How do you think the lepers felt in that none of his family or his community ever wanted to have physical contact with him? No one ever wanted to have physical contact with this man. But yet, we see this man coming to Jesus and Jesus touching this man. Can you? Also, another question, was the leper concerned that Jesus would not have an intimate relationship with him at all? See, I use as my example, as my illustration of intimate with anyone, men, women, anyone. I use Jesus as that illustration. I don't look at societal norms. That is why even if I come into contact with homosexuals, it doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm going to show intimacy to them. I didn't say sex. I said intimacy, transparency. My God, the Christian church, you're supposed to have all this powerful eternal life, and you're living like, well, let me leave that one alone. I'd better ask another question. What drove this man to Jesus? Was he merely desperate without any other alternative? Well, the inevitable question is, what drives people to you? What causes people to see who you are? Now, questions about Jesus' approach to the man himself. The Lord had to feel something more than other people felt towards this man. See, that's why Matthew writes about it. He's trying to say, look at what Jesus felt something towards the man. When you look at that, when he came off the mountain, great numbers of people were following him. And when the leper came to him, Jesus didn't run and say, get away from me. No. The Lord also knew the consequences of touching someone of this nature. Because the Lord knew that if he touched him, if he got close to him, that he would be branded. Now, I want you to get the point. You people need to listen to me. Because, see, that's your problem. That's why you can't love and you can't understand what I'm talking about. Jesus knew that if he touched this leprous person and his disciples and everyone else saw it, and they did see it, that he would become a leprous person. You see? That's why when I think of the Christian community hating homosexuals. All right, a man's in your church and he commits adultery against his wife. Basically, because she cut him off sexually, just cut him off like the light company. And the man is high strung that way, always been. That's why she married him, because she liked him like that when he was young. Now he got middle age and she didn't cut him off because she had three of his little bambinos. And now she don't want to, let's be real, okay, give it up anymore. I'm not being vulgar, I'm being real. And that's another problem with the Christian church. You're not real. And that's why people that's not a part of the Christian church don't want to become a part of us, because we're unreal. She don't want to give it up anymore. And this man, what is he supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to trust God. He's supposed to ask God. Ask God? No, he's asking her. She made a vow. See, and you haven't counseled men like this. I have. And it was not embarrassing for me to counsel these men. If any of these men ever were counseled by me, they know that I've never been embarrassed about them. And I talk about it. Most of us don't want to talk about nothing but, you know, something foolish. Jesus knew that the man was denied human touch. Nobody wanted to touch him. As a matter of fact, people like you would not want to touch him. So Jesus would touch him. Now, Jesus is my Lord, and he is saying that I should follow in his steps. I want to touch the man. You understand what I'm saying? See, and that's why, you know, that's why that that church that I pastored called me a gay man because I wanted to touch men the way Jesus touches the men. You understand now? Do you understand? You will be labeled if you live biblical Christianity. You will be labeled. And I'm telling you, people today don't want to be labeled, and that surprises me. Jesus knew that other people ran from the man. Now, what is the connotation? A lot of us are running from people, not only because of what people are saying in society, but because of our misappropriation of the whole situation altogether. Also, Jesus could have provided healing for the man from 50 to 100 feet away. But you got to look at verse 3a. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. See, he didn't say, wait a minute, stay away. Stay over there now. Stay over there. Don't come near me. I heal you from there. I got supernatural powers. I'm God. I don't need you. No. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What did he say? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. What do we do? Well, I remember one guy told me, I was having a discussion about gay people in our community, and this black deacon in the church that I pastor told me, I believe God can save them, but he gonna save them at a distance from me. That's what he told me. And, you know, I was a young Christian. I hadn't been a Christian for 5 years when he said this. And I said, wait a minute, what is this? It totally contradicts everything that I've ever read in Scripture. Are these people nuts? See, ladies and gentlemen, let me share something with you. If you do not come to the bottom line about what Christianity teaches, you're a liar. You are a liar. And if you're not this, you are a liar. No, you are not headed for heaven. You are not headed for glory land. You're a liar unless you love the way that Christ told you to love. That is a paramount characteristic of every true believer. It was nothing but full compassion that Jesus demonstrated. He had a desire to be intimate with the man. Jesus had something to prove to the man, simply that he was not like others. Jesus was saying to the man, I'm not like these other people that are saying filthy, dirty, get away, pollution, violation. It's like when AIDS first came out and everybody says, oh, be careful, don't go around them. You can catch the plague. How about you and me, my friend? What do you think the man felt like being touched for the first time? Think about it. This leprous man being touched for the first time in his life, how do you actually think this man felt when another human being reached out and touched him? What do you think he felt about love now? Was it more than just some abstract thing? Because you see, that's what the church has been giving out for years. This abstract idea of love. Well, I love you, brother. God bless you. Go in peace. And you can't wait for him to get the hell out of your sight because you don't even want him around you. You know it. You can't even stand the way they smell. You can't stand the way they dress. You can't stand the slur in their language. You can't stand the way they walk with their pants hanging off their behind if they're young people, because God help them, they don't know any better. They haven't been trained what decency is. You can't stand their rap music because it's too loud. It sounds like foolishness to you. You want them to listen to 13th century Baroque. You are out of your ever-loving mind. You don't love them. You don't want their kind in your church. Oh, let's stop playing this game. It was nothing less than fond compassion that Jesus had. It was love on a higher level. And I must say this, most of us have no idea what that's all about altogether. I'm telling you, my friends, as I read the Bible, this lesson alone proves the point that if I am not willing to love on the level that Christ loves, the impact of the Christian faith is lost in words. It's lost. I'm just a talking head. And I want you to feel me on this because, you know, here again lies the problem. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist's mind to understand that. Why is the church failing? Why is the church going after prosperity? Why is there racism in churches? Why is there a lack of affection for other people in the church of Jesus Christ? There ain't no love. What caused Christ to die on Calvary for our sins? What caused him to take the beating, the brutality that the Romans and the Jews put on him? It was his love for humanity. And you know, I'm not saying that I can die like Christ. I'll probably scream out and faint and die of a heart attack if I had to go through that. But man, the weight of the sin of the whole world lying and resting on this one man, every person that was born from generation to generation, this is the love of Jesus Christ. Are there other examples, Pastor, that you can give me about this? I'm not quite convinced as of yet. Yeah, right. Okay. You aren't convinced because you don't want to be convinced. Okay. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Now, it says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." All right. There's a problem in our society with us loving our neighbor. Just like I had a problem when that guy heard me on the John Loeffler presentation and thinks that I don't love Hispanics. That's crazy. That would be like you saying, well, you must not love African Americans because you're always talking about the black church. That's crazy. I love people. I don't care what nationality you are. I love Asian people. I love all kind of people. No, 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 no. This is a command of the Lord. The problem in our society is with our loving our neighbor. Based upon the mentality amongst black and minority individuals in the community that I live in, we don't manifest Christian love. Rather, we have this loose association with other humans. Well, I love them if they do something for me. You know, it is outrageous. You know what Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says? It says, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers all sins." In other words, we would never be so forward to admit that we hate another man, would we? Especially in this society that's, you know, talking about that's hate language. You can go to prison for that. It is out of the context of our Christian experience of what it's all about. Yet, we by our particular attitude and actions display nothing less than the gangster mentality towards others in terms of the verse that is said before us. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sin. I hate nobody. I can't hate anybody. And especially when somebody does something to you that's grievous. And let me tell some of you youngsters something. I've had people do some grievous things to me in life over the years. Grievous. Oh, let me hurry up. I got 3 minutes. I got another scripture for you. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Another severe problem in our community is that of deceit. Because we easily speak of a special kind of love when it comes to church, church people, church love, right? When in reality, we manifest something other than that. If our actions display hypocrisy, that's what dissimulation is, then what is it that we are living in vital detail? We are not what we desire others to see. You see, spiritual persons will be free and quick to see the same. If you're a spiritual person, you're going to say, you know what? I'm a lying hypocrite. The game is up in the Bible church. Let me give you another scripture. Oh, I got a lot of scriptures. As a matter of fact, I got so many. I'm going to have to carry this webcast over an hour. I won't be able to complete it in an hour. It's impossible. I just can't do it. I can't do it. You know, I hope that you can take the time to check out this webcast. If you're on the job, you're taking a lunch break, listen to it after a couple of days. I want you to know.